As we continue our discussion of Charchay Kodem Zmanay, the halacha is that chametz that is burnt before Pesach, before the Zman Issa and Erev Pesach, the Gemara Masechta Pesachim, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, teaches us that such chametz is mutar b'hanah. And as we learned, the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tuf Mem Beis Sif Pes quotes this Gemara, but the Shulchan Aruch paskins that it has to be nifsal mechilas kelef. And furthermore, as we pointed out in our previous shiur, the Shulchan Aruch also follows the opinion of the Rosh, that the Rosh says that if one were to eat such chametz that was burnt before Pesach, that would be usur, and that's why the Rosh says the Gemara uses the words mutar b'hanah, not mutar b'achila, because the Rosh teaches us that once you eat it, we have a concept of achshave. By you eating it, you show that it does have to you significance, and it's obvious that the opinion of the Rosh is that the reason that charchay kodem zmanay is mutter is because it's no longer in the category of chametz. But once you eat it, that's why we have a concept of achshavei. There's a very interesting discussion amongst the contemporary poskim about a very commonly used food ingredient, citric acid, which we will describe how it's manufactured in a moment, which many of the sugyas we've been learning, particularly this sugya of Charchay Kodem Zmanay, play a very significant role in determining the status of this ingredient for Pesach. The way it's produced is that they take glucose, which, as we've discussed in our previous shiur, glucose is a byproduct of starch, and certainly glucose can come from wheat starch, very typically. They take glucose, which is manufactured from wheat starch, and then they put this glucose into kettles under intense heat, and together with some enzymes, it produces a syrup, and then they take that syrup and put into it lime and sulfur, and from that, they ultimately dry it and have what is known as citric acid, which is very important ingredient in the manufacture of many foods. And the question is that because we began, as we described, with the wheat starch, with the glucose, which is made from wheat starch, so do we have here the heter? Is there any way that this can be used on Pesach? And there's a tshuva from Rav Avadya Yosef Shlita, and Shaila Shetshuvas Yechav Das, Chelik Beis, Simen Samach Beis, where he takes a lenient approach to the Shaila. And he has a number of reasons to be lenient. One is that since this ingredient is not only made from chametz alone, it's, as we just described, made from other ingredients together with the chametz. So he says, as we learned in the Gemara, we have here a heter of zev zegoyer, where when you have an item that is not just made up of iser, it's made up of a combination of iser and heter, that is not, there we have a halacha of zev zegoyer. Although he does say that there are Paiskim that don't want to rely on the Het of Zevzei Goyrim by Pesach. And the reason he says is because since Pesach is a Dovish Yesh Lematirin, Midaraisa, Chametz after Pesach is perfectly fine. So he says that by Pesach, since it's a Dovish Yesh Lematirin, that's why it's we can't maybe apply that concept. Actually, he goes into a very interesting discussion. He says, we all know the halacha is that chametz b'Pesach is also b'mashehu. Even though normally there are halachas of bittul, most commonly known halacha is that food, that issa becomes bottle b'shishim. The halacha is that on Pesach, chametz doesn't even become bottle, even if a drop of chametz falls into a mixture. And he says there's a question as to why. One reason is because of chumrah de Pesach. As we learn on Masechta, we find that chametz and Pesach is a particularly very serious isser. It's the only isser that has in it three characteristics. That it's chiv karis, it's osa b'hanoah, it's a food that loy b'dilimineh, usually we eat, and that's why it's not bottle. But another reason, he says, why chametz b'Pesach is never bottle is because of davar sheyesh lematirin. After Pesach, it's not osur. So he says, if we'll say that the reason chametz and Pesach is not bottle, it could be chumrah the Pesach, maybe by zevzei goyrim we could be more lenient. But if we call Pesach, chametz b'Pesach, a davar sheyesh lematirin, and a davar sheyesh lematirin doesn't become bottle, we wouldn't be able to use a concept of zevzei goyrim. Another reason, then he says two more reasons. One is that when we started with wheat, and that wheat was ultimately made into a starch, and the starch was made into glucose, and the glucose was, as we described, ultimately transformed into a powder, into the citric acid. So he says we have a concept of nishtanu tzurasai, that if something that is not what it was originally, totally different than it was originally, that's when we call that there's a heter of nishtanu tzurasai. Another reason, and where we find this concept, because the Rosh in Masechta Brachos says that they were ate musk. Musk was extracted from the glands of an animal. The musk originally is blood, but ultimately it's transformed into this musk. So we see that if something is nishtanu tzurasai, first it's blood and ultimately it's musk. The halacha is that it's mutter. Here too, it started off as wheat. It ended off as citric acid with all those steps in the middle. We have a heter of nishtanu tzurasai. A third heter, he says, which is very much related to what we have been discussing, is the heter of nifsal. Because when the citric acid, when the glucose, the starch, is ultimately mixed with sulfur and lime, it becomes nifsal mechilas kelef. And since it becomes nifsal mechilas kelef, and all of this obviously is being done before Pesach, so something, as we just learned, if it's nifsa mechilas kalev, the halacha is that it's not considered chametz. And therefore, he concludes, b'di'eved, one can use citric acid, preferably with any food item that has citric acid should be manufactured before Pesach. He does, however, agree that lechatchila one should not use citric acid. There's a very long tshuva in the Shailos Tshuvos Minchas Yitzchak, Chelek Zayin, Simen Chav Zayin, where he addresses the issue of citric acid, and he takes a very strict approach. And it's quite obvious that even though he doesn't mention this tshuva of the Chavadas that we just quoted by name, it's quite obvious that he is speaking about this tshuva and speaking about the issues that were raised in this tshuva. And again, the concepts that we're discussing are very much concepts that we have been encountering in our shurim and in our gemara. He says as follows. He wants to compare the manufacturer of citric acid to the manufacturer of whiskey, which we know that whiskey, schnapps, scotch are all considered foods that are chametz, and he discusses how they're made. And he says the way whiskey is made is also you begin with a mash of different grains, and ultimately that mash is cooked up. After it's cooked up, vapor comes up, and that vapor ultimately is your when it liquefies is going to be your alcoholic drink. And he quotes extensively a tshuva from the Chacham Tzvi about the status of whiskey and how we can say that if the Chacham Tzvi, and he quotes the Chacham Sofer, all felt, and he says that the Steichemed has a long list of Paiskim that agree, all felt that whiskey is considered chametz gomer. If that's the case by whiskey, certainly that would be the case by citric acid. And he goes through a number of points. He says the fact that it turns into a vapor, the halachic term is zeya, the fact that it turns into a vapor, and then starting from your grain, ultimately becoming a vapor, and then ultimately becoming a liquid, he says that isn't considered, the fact that isn't enough to be considered nishtanat surasai. Even though the Pnei Yeshua does consider that as a factor, and that's why the minig in many communities that don't keep chametz gomer over Pesach, they don't even sell chametz gomer to an akum. Whiskey they'll sell, and the reason that they'll rely on it is because they'll say that it's not chametz gomer because it was made into a zeya. The Chacham Tzvi says that zeya is not considered nishtanat zerosai. If you have a food, and just because you cook the food and you liquefy the food and it turns into a vapor and then ultimately back into a liquid, that isn't, you're ultimately ending up with what you started, and that isn't considered nishtanat zerosai. Furthermore, he goes into a discussion that apparently during the process of cooking, and I'll use the words that the Poskim use, the cooking of the malts, he says during that cooking process, it becomes inedible. So he says, the Mechas Yitzchak says a very big chiddush. He says, even though we're learning the concept in our Gemara of Nifsa Machilas Kalef, and in fact, he quotes a machloikus of the Rambam and Ravid, and the Bi'ur Halacha actually discusses this machloikus quite extensively here in Siman Tuf Mem Beis Sif Tes. There's a machloikus, the Rambam and Ravid, and Perek Aleph of Hilchas Chometz Umatzah. The Ravid holds that the heter of Nifsal Machilas Kelev doesn't apply by Sa'ar. And the pshat in the Ravid is very understandable. Because only a food that is supposed to taste good, if it's Nifsal, it's no longer considered a food, and therefore doesn't have the Isra of Chometz. But Sa'ar, yeast, is not meant to taste good, and therefore, even though it's nifsal, it's still considered chametz. The Rambam disagrees, and the Bi'ur Halacha says that many of the Rishonim, the Magen Mishnah, and the Kesem Mishnah, and the Magen Avraham all passing like the Rambam, and the Mishnah Berurah is disturbed. How could they all passing like the Rambam, where there's a Tosefta that clearly indicates that the Sa'ar, the Tosefta Masechta Beya, the first paragraph of Masechta Beya, that Sa'ar is considered Sa'ar even after the Sa'ar that the Torah tells us that we're not allowed to eat on Pesach is considered Sa'ar even after it's Nifsa Machilas Kelev. And his question is, if the Gemara is telling us clearly that Sa'ar is Sa'ar even after it's Nifsa Machilas Kelev, what do we do? How will the Rambam understand that? So the Mishnah Berurah makes a very interesting distinction between how something becomes inedible and to what degree it becomes inedible. And he says, if it becomes inedible because it's just something that's the fermentation process, he says that's where the Rambam and Raiva disagree. And that's where maybe everybody, that's where the Rambam and Raiva disagree. But when something becomes completely decomposed, when Sar comes to the degree where it's completely decomposed, that will not be considered Sar. And therefore, he says as follows. He says, the Rambam, when he says that Sar is not considered Chametz, it's not the Sar that went through a fermentation process that we've discussed, that the definition of Sar is that you have dough that becomes fermented. We're talking about that it became spoiled, not just fermented. That, says the Rambam, is not considered chametz. But if it becomes just fermented, it would be chametz. Says the Menachas Yitzchak, and he quotes an Ar Sameach who holds this way. He says, if part of the process of making a food is that the process is that the food first becomes spoiled, and then ultimately it gets to a point where it's good again, that's why it's not considered, that's not considered nifsa. So, in other words, just to understand, he says that if I'm making citric acid, or we're making the whiskey that we're discussing, and the procedure is that during that process, it's going to get nifsa, and then afterwards it's going to get that part of the process, and then afterwards it'll be good again, even the Rambam, who's more makel than the Raivid, as we just discussed, by Sa'ar, and the Rambam says that Sa'ar, that's spoiled, is not chametz. Such a situation, the Rambam will agree, is not considered that we have the heter of Nisa. So just to review, one heter that we quoted was Nifsal. So we're saying now that if the Menachas Yitzchak, based on the Ar Sameach, says that if Nifsal is part of the process of making the food, and that's just one stage in the preparation of the food, we don't have a heter of Nifsal. And the other point to be made is that the fact that it's Nishtanet Tzurasoi, so he brings a raya from the Chacham Tzvi and other Achroinim, who all consider whiskey chametz, and even though it also was Nishtanet Tzurasoi, it started as a grain, and ultimately it turned into a liquid. So he says that just like over there, we don't say the heter of Nishtanet Tzurasoi, here too, we can't say the heter of Nishtanet Tzurasoi. He also says that we can't, the other heter that we wanted, that Rav Avad Yosef mentioned, the heter of Zev Zagoyrim, he says, you can't rely on Zev Zagoyrim over here. Why? He says, number one, where you have a item where one of the ingredients is the stronger and more important ingredient, and it's the ingredient that gives the main tam, there we don't say Zev Zagoyrim. So he says, if you have the citric acid that has in it the chametz component and has in it the other components, but the primary component, the component that is there to give the tam, is the chametz. And then he goes on, in fact, to say that he discussed with experts that the other ingredients that we mentioned that are put in, the sulfur and the sid, are really there primarily as processing aids, not really the main part of the food the food that we're producing here, we don't say Zev is a goyim. And then he also says a very interesting chiddush. He says, when do we apply the heter Zev is a goyim? He says, we apply the heter Zev is a goyim is if we have a food item. And the food item has in it two ingredients that were put into the food separately. And one is a hetadigger ingredient, and one is an iser ingredient. And neither ingredient by itself could create the food. That's when we have Zev as a goyim. He says, but if you have one ingredient, and that ingredient has in it a heter component and an iser component, and that ingredient is put into the food, you can't take one ingredient, because when you put the citric acid into your food, it isn't put in that you have the chametz ingredients and the non-chametz ingredient put in separately. You have one final ingredient called citric acid. And that citric acid is being put into your food. There you can't apply the heter Zev Zagayr. And therefore, he disagrees with the three heterim that we quoted from Rabbi Avadya Yosef Shlita, why he would consider that citric acid should be mutter. He also continues in saying that two more very important points. He says he's not quite certain, and we mentioned this point in an earlier shiur as well. It's very difficult to determine what the halacha is considered nifsa machilas kalaf. As we quoted earlier in our shiur, Rav Shlomo Zalman says that we find that the Rambam paskins that may reglayim urine is considered a mashta. In our world, we would certainly probably consider urine nifsa machilas kalaf. Yet the Rambam paskins that's considered a full-fledged mashta. So we see that we're not quite certain how to determine what is considered in halacha as nifsa. And then he makes another point, going back to the opinion of the Rosh that we've quoted many times and that we said at the beginning of our shiur today, we follow. He says that whenever you have ashrei, whenever you're showing that this ingredient is important to you, we don't say the concept of nifsa. So he wants to say the fact that this is the process of making the citric acid, and you wanted to go through this process, because by going through this process, you will ultimately end up with your citric acid. There he says, we don't say a heter of nifsal mechilas kalev, because achshavei, as the Rosh tells us, takes away the heter of nifsal mechilas kalev. There's also a tshuva, and then he concludes. And then he concludes that if, as we discussed earlier in our shiur, we find that Chazal was so machmer in Hilchas Pesach, and we explained why, because Pesach is the one Isser that it's Osu Bahanoah, it's a Chiv Chorus, and Loi Bedilimine. So since Chametz for Pesach is so serious, we see that Chazal didn't want us, he says, to be lenient when it comes to Hilchas Pesach, and therefore, he says, we shouldn't be lenient on this as well. In general, he says, he doesn't understand how we could say that b'di'evid we can use it. He says, b'di'evid means that if you have a shayla in front of you, what should you do? B'di'evid doesn't mean that I really would prefer that you shouldn't use it, but if you use it, it's okay. He says, that's not the definition of b'di'evid, so he doesn't understand what it means when the Paiskim say it could be used b'di'evid. As I said, the Shevet HaLevi in Chelek Dalet Simen Mem Zayin also discusses this, and he also takes a stringent opinion. He says one heter that people wanted to suggest is that since they take out the actual wheat from the process, he says that it's not quite clear that the starch is chametz. He says it's hard to say that starch made from wheat isn't chametz. He also doesn't want to rely on the heter of nishtanet tsurasa. He says la'locha poshim oid shloi natal shtam shpesach bedavish nasa bebotech roishes. If you have an ingredient that was made in a factory, aydei kemach umayim, through the mixing of flour and water, and he says you can't take an ingredient that's made out of flour and water, that has in a flour, that has in the water, and say that it shouldn't be a problem. But he does come up with one heter. He says, two heterim actually. One is, he says, regarding kashering, he says, if you have citric acid that was manufactured on equipment, that citric acid that was made from chametz, and now you want to make citric acid from non-chametz ingredients, or you want to make other foods on those kalim, he says that he would be maybe more lenient. He says you should do the best kashering possible, but it seems that he's going to be a little more lenient on hilchus kashering. And number two, he says that what you could do is, even if you didn't kasher, he says, if you made a kosher product on those lines, a kosher Pesach product on those lines, so the first three productions, the first three runs that went through those lines should not be considered kosher Pesach. From the fourth one and on, he's more lenient. That's what he says. And I think that the Michas Yitzchak is addressing this kula as well, although he doesn't mention this by name. At the end of the tshuva, of that tshuva in the Michas Yitzchak, he says that, and he quotes a Steichemet saying that as well, he says, taking this type of an approach, he says, is going on a slippery slope. He says, what's going to happen is that we're going to come up with all sorts of conditions, that under those conditions we're being lenient, but as the years go by, we'll forget the conditions, and we'll end up with what was usser becoming mutter. And therefore, he says that unless it's made 100% in the proper kosher Pesach form, it should not be used on Pesach, and the different heterim that we've been discussing in our shiurim, he says, cannot be applied here.